Hello, and welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church podcast. My name is Kevin Rutledge, and I'm the pastor here at Berwyn United Methodist Church. Today, we have an inspiring sermon delivered on August 4th by Reverend Jim McNair, who was gracious enough to step in while I was on vacation. In this powerful message, Pastor Jim explores the weight of the Word and how the messages we hear, and more importantly, truly listen to, can transform our lives. He weaves in personal anecdotes, cultural references, and scriptural insights to illustrate the profound impact that understanding and internalizing the Word of God can have on us. This fits into our Summer Sermon series, where we look at the various parts of our worship, why we do them, and how they can impact our overall spiritual lives. So without further ado, let's dive into this enriching sermon by Reverend Jim McNair. Here is The Weight of the Word.
Is from 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 26, through chapter 12, verse 12. It's the story of David, continued. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children, and it used to eat of his meager fare, and drink from the cup, and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him." Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel, of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Verses 24 through 35. Yes. Hear these words. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, They themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered to them, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This service's focus is on weight of the word. Now, that has got to bring you pause. Weight of the word. How does a word have weight? How does a message bring something to you that changes you? And I thought to myself, the first time someone used the word racism to me, I didn't know what they were talking about, because I was not raised to be racist. And it had nothing to do with formal training. My parents loved show tunes and Broadway musicals. And I grew up listening to the sound of to South Pacific. Now, how many of you can put together the Broadway musical South Pacific and me not growing up to be racist? What am I talking about? Joe Cable tries to explain why he can't love the Polynesian girl. And he sings, You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, or people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. I grew up hearing that music, and it taught me from the age of 7 or 8 years old that we're all the same, and you have to be taught to dislike someone just because of how they look. And I went, that was a revelation to me. The fact that some people, now you have to understand, my daddy was born in Birmingham and I was raised down south. So I do know what racism looks like because I've seen it, but I never lived it. It was never applied, number one, to me. I kind of look white. By the way, I am quarter Cherokee Indian, but it don't show. But because of this song I heard when I was a child, it never crossed my mind that Dr. Brown and I should be on opposite sides of an aisle just because she's African American and I'm not. Or that my friend whose name was Jonathan Yim should be treated differently because he was Chinese. It never crossed my mind. Well, then I get this sermon topic. weight of the world, and I go, okay, what else has happened in my life that brings the weight of the message of God to me? Now, you've got to be taught, brought the message of racism to me and how it should be avoided. But how does the Word of God get wrapped up in all of this with the weight of the world? Excuse me, word, weight of the word. And I realize that it has to do with the fact that we hear it often, we live it seldom. Okay? So I'm working on this for 2 weeks, and I'm struggling. How do I bring a message that talks about the message of Jesus Christ has got to have gravitas? It has to have meaning to us. And this morning I wake up, and basically I've got one of those brains that Hoover showed up overnight, vacuumed out all the garbage that I'd been trying to hammer into a shape that I thought I wanted to do, and the Holy Spirit gave me the message that you're about to hear. How many of you like Neil Diamond, the singer? How many of you have heard the album Hot August Night? It is a classic. If you haven't heard it, get it. You'll rock. Oh, I loved it. I was in the Army in Germany, and every time my wife would go shopping, I'd put Hot August Night on the turntable and crank it up. Hot August Night. Yes. And Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies, and everyone knows, everyone goes to Brother Love's shows. Loved it. And I'm laying there on the couch listening, and my life changed, because for the first time, a song that I had heard, if not hundreds of times, at least dozens of times, finally hit my ears in a receptive way. The song is called Morningside. How many of you know it? I didn't expect to see any hands. I'm going to try to get through this. Morningside, the old man died, and no one cried. They simply turned away, and when he died, he left a table made of nails and pride. And with his hands, he carved these words inside, for my children. Morning light, morning bright, I spent the night with dreams that make you weep. Morning time, wash away the sadness from these eyes of mine. For I recall the words the old man signed for my children. And the legs, they were shaped with his hands, and the top was made of oaken wood. And the children sat around this great table, and they touched it with their laughter, and it was good. But morning sighed, the old man died, and no one cried. He surely died alone, the truth is sad. Not a child would claim the gift he had. The words he carved became his epitaph for my children. And I cried alone in an apartment in Germany, surrounded by hundreds of families. I was living in a housing project, an Army housing project, and I cried. I wept tears of loss, because the only thing he had to give was rejected by the children he left it to. Folks, that preaches. That's exactly the message Jesus is trying to give us today. You came because I fed your bellies. The children of Israel followed Moses because he gave them water when they were thirsty, and he got God to give them manna when they were hungry, and the quail flew low and could be taken when they needed meat, and they followed him. And the people ran from town to town and followed Jesus because he was the best performer that they'd ever seen. They were impressed by his magic, by his miracles. He gave a message they liked listening to, but they weren't hearing it. Like the song I had listened to dozens of times, I loved the music. And then one day, my heart heard it. One day, the message of Jesus Christ came to me, and I heard it. Oh, I'll share. What the heck? I was in an army chapel at Fort Rucker, Alabama. It's no longer called Fort Rucker. And I loved to sing in the choir, so I used to go to church. I could take it or leave it, but I like singing. And I was listening to Reverend Dave McLean. I forget what he was preaching on. But one day, it dawned on me the love of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was offering to me, was a huge, tremendous thing. And I had no doubt that my wife loved me dearly, but her love was a pale reflection of the greater love that God was offering me if I was just to accept his son, Jesus Christ, as Lord. And again, I cried. Sitting there in the choir loft, tears running down my face, Dave McLean preaching, he looked over and he saw me and he went, "Gotcha!" He was right. I got. Because it had finally dawned on me the message of Jesus Christ. I am your salvation. Believe in me. It was no longer just fancy words that I've heard. I mean, I'm going to get personal. How old are you? How old are you? 88. That's old enough. How many times do you think she has heard someone like me stand in front of an altar and preach the message of the gospel? Over 80. She's 88. How many times do you think I'm going to bring anything new to her that she's never heard before? It's possible. It ain't likely. But one day in her life, hopefully, someone was speaking and the Holy Spirit working on her spirit opened her up to a message that she'd heard 1,000 times before, but finally brought her salvation. How many times can a hammer hit a rock and then all of a sudden, wham, the rock shatters? It wasn't done by one rock, I mean by one swing of the hammer. It came by multiple blows. The message of salvation doesn't come through one preacher. Folks, I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that wandered in and the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I can use even that flawed vessel. And I opened myself up to being used. My favorite term for myself is I'm a useful tool in the hands of a loving God. But the object is, I don't bring you my message. My message is easy. I do my best to open myself up to the Holy Spirit to bring you the message of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ offered himself up for our salvation, and that if we accept him as Lord and Savior, our eternal life is guaranteed. It's not just promised, it's guaranteed. And you've heard it from the time you were knee-high to a grasshopper, but one day you don't just hear it, you hear it. One day it isn't just there, it's everywhere. And one day, you didn't just spend an hour wishing you were out on a lake fishing, but you spent an hour that will change your life. And that's the rub, because the word has weight. And I can bring my interpretation of that, but you have to bring your interpretation of it to your children and to your grandchildren and to your friends, because I can't even think of the number of times someone says, oh, of course you believe it, you're a preacher, you have to. But when their neighbor says to them, you know, I was reading in my Bible and I came across this passage and it touched me, they'll hear that much more than they'll ever hear me. So you have to do your job too. I have to stand up here and do my thing. But my thing is to empower you to leave this place and do your thing, which is to spread the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church podcast. I hope Reverend McNair's sermon on the weight of the word resonated with you as deeply as it did with me. As he said, understanding the word of God is not just a matter of hearing it, it's about truly engaging with it and allowing it to transform our lives. Remember, the weight of the word is felt in our actions and in the way we share its message with others. If this sermon spoke to you, please consider sharing it with friends or family who might benefit from this powerful message. For more sermons, updates, and ways to get involved, visit us at berwynumc.org. I look forward to joining with you again next week, and until then, may you go in peace and let the Word of God continue to illuminate your path. This is Pastor Kevin Rutledge signing off. God bless and take care.